It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And this Sunday will truly be a Sunday like no other. With this weekend's major golf tournament, along with both pro and college football, no shortage of action. Need to go to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, and they want to put you in the center of the action with so many different ways to make it rain. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now. You don't want to miss this. You've got this DraftKings ensuring all new users that you're covered up to $100 when you celebrate Sunday's action. That's right. You bet, they cover with risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get the can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is insuring Sunday bets up to $100. That's right. You bet, they cover up to $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out and site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we were talking about Penn State, Maryland, and how many different ways they fell short. I want to hit on the running game, which was almost non-existent. And here's what James Franklin had to say about the running game in his post-game press conference. I've got to watch the tape, but we weren't sustaining blocks. We haven't been able to break tackles consistently and make people miss consistently. It's been similar to the first couple weeks. We're not getting consistent push. We're not sustaining blocks. And then we're not breaking tackles and making people miss. So it's on the offensive line, and it's on the running backs. So in other words, everyone's to blame.
Yeah, it's kind of like the trying to summarize the problems with this team. It's like, all right, what isn't the problem in Penn State trying to establish the run game? Because it is all of those things. And I think not having Journey Brown and not having Noah Cain has some impact on this, but there's too much to go around to really blame it on just that. I think they need a better effort. And to me, you know, by the way, just not for nothing, but in the brief times that we've seen Keziah Holmes, he looks like Penn State's best running back. You know, he looks like the guy who can best blend power, speed, inside, outside. That's what he looked like to me. I suspect going into Nebraska week, we'll see more of him. Just trying to, I know they were mixing and matching at several positions to try to find some kind of spark, try to find somebody who can give this team a lift. In the running game, I thought Keziah Holmes offered a little bit of that briefly, but there's a lot to go around here. And I think to circle all the way back to Penn State's offensive line, this was a Maryland front that had been pushed around prior to this, that had given up a lot of points, had given up a lot of rushing yards. To not be able to establish that part of the game is kind of inexcusable in my book. And you give credit to Maryland for a really good effort in this game across the board, but especially that Maryland front. But Penn State's offensive line was supposed to be a lot better than this, you know, and I don't think there's any dancing around that. James Franklin didn't dance around that. This group has to be better. They have to feel like they can dominate and then go out there and do it. That has probably been one of the bigger disappointments of this team, is that they haven't been able to own the point of attack, whether that's in the passing or the running game through 3 weeks. And Maryland, I thought, was a big opportunity to establish that run game, to feel good about themselves up front and maybe carry those good vibes into the rest of the season. And now it's right back to the drawing board, and it frankly should not have been.
Let me ask you this, Dustin. James Franklin went on to talk about, we're not able to put people in conflict with the RPO stuff because not enough respect and concern for the running game. But with the running game, has it become too predictable, and not necessarily the run pass option, but it's the run run option. Either the quarterback gives it to the running back or keeps it himself. Has that become too predictable? The running backs are forced to run between the tackles where there's no space there. Devin Ford, I don't think, is designed to run up the middle. And I don't want to make too big a deal of a small play, but I don't know if you recall this. In the first drive, on a first down play, Penn State was in Maryland territory. A little pitch out to Devin Ford to the outside. It had what looked like a little bit of that read option to it because the defensive end was not blocked. He was let in free. Devin Ford had the outside. Maryland's linebacker made a great play in pursuit, but it still gained 5 yards, but it looked like there was even more yardage there, and they never did it again. Am I wrong in thinking maybe they should get outside the tackles a bit?
Well, I mean, what I would say just in general to that is it's really hard to get into any kind of play calling rhythm when so little is working for you. And the RPO stuff is a good point. And I think you've got a valid point there. It's always hard for me to criticize play calling when I'm not understanding exactly what I'm seeing, like Kirk Shiraka is. But I think the RPO stuff, it's a collision of things that are going wrong, because if you're not holding blocks up front and you're holding that ball at the mesh point for a few seconds, there's a good chance that the play is going to fall apart. And then to speak to your predictability element to it, you know, when your wideouts are having a hard time getting off the line of scrimmage and getting immediate separation, that read isn't really going to be there, you know? So I think it's become the run out of, you know, necessity, but I think just in general, I think a little bit of fresh approach might not be such a bad thing. But when things aren't going well and you're not executing these things, you know, the RPO is built to kind of present the pass, present the run, you know, pose a threat in both ways. And if you've had some success, you do that. If you haven't had success, it's hard to make the right play call anyway. But that RPO looks especially wrong when the defense hasn't really been given much reason to respect the run or the pass.
That's true. If you're not successful at anything, you can't play off of it. But I think there's a lot of running plays that, you know, we just generically say is they're running an RPO, when really it appears, at least appears to me, the only two options are run. And it's either the running back runs between the tackles or the quarterback pulls it and keeps it. And it doesn't appear that either part of that is effective. So how about trying something a little bit different? Let's begin our conversation now on that quarterback. And, you know, Sean Clifford is struggling, and I'm going to go back and just bring back up, Dustin, your prediction that he would be this year's Joe Burrow. I apologize for that, because Dustin, I thought we were going to see so much more from Sean Clifford. And I know there's the, oh, he's getting beat up. But before he's even been hit in these games, he's missing open people. He's not playing well. And can you put your finger on where you and I both had it wrong with Sean Clifford?
Well, I mean, I think the tone was, and honestly, you know, I think from a physical standpoint, Sean Clifford is fine. He's athletic. I think he's got the arm for it. I think when he's on, he can deliver the ball with accuracy. I think when he's on, he can throw the deep ball. The problem, you know, to me has been he needs the pieces around him to elevate him and not the other way around. You know what I mean? If the wide receivers are struggling to get open, if the ground game has a hard time getting going, he's not going to be the guy who makes those situations better. He's the guy, I think, who needs those situations to be in a good place for him to be anywhere close to hit the best version of himself. You know, and I think that element in itself is a little bit disappointing. You know, I think we went into the season understanding physically what he's capable of doing, seeing what Kirk Shiraka was able to do with Tanner Morgan last year, and doing the math and saying, okay, if Kirk Shiraka can get the most out of Sean Clifford, this can be a really good quarterback. And I don't know that that is all the way in the rear view. But 3 weeks have been very much discouraging in that development track, because you've seen things that Sean Clifford has done that has nothing to do with anybody else. Air mailing, what, 6 or 7 throws for sure against Maryland, making decisions that make you scratch your head. You know, this is a guy who's now, 15 starts into his career. We shouldn't be seeing some of these things. And some of that has nothing to do with how they're executing elsewhere. Him overthrowing too many guys, him not seeing the open man on a handful of occasions. All that kind of speaks to, you know, poise and decision making and some of those intangibles that we still went into the year with questions about. I still believe that Sean Clifford has a very good set of skills, but I still don't know if they translate because of maybe some of the limitations in between his ears, so to speak. And I think that's something that Penn State needed to see progress, in order to kind of reach the next level. And this was, to many people, this was the last piece for Penn State to really kind of make that leap. And we've seen, you know, in a couple of these games, I mean, in all three of these games, Penn State's gotten beaten on the coaching front. They've gotten beaten in the quarterback matchup. And when that happens against Indiana, Ohio State, and again, against Maryland, it's hard to win football games. And we've seen that. And then I think on the Maryland side, you know, I think for 3 or 4 years, I think they've had a pretty solid base of talent. They haven't had a quarterback. And then Tagovailoa comes in there, and you can see not only his performance, but you can see the energy in that team change because they have a belief in their quarterback. That's something that has lacked, I think, the last 2 weeks in particular, is Penn State not sure if Sean Clifford, you know, you give him the ball, you're scoring points. Maryland felt that way with their quarterback. Penn State doesn't feel that way right now with their quarterback.
I thought the best drive of the year was that first drive against Ohio State to start the second half, where it was the short passing game and Sean Clifford was getting rid of the ball quickly. You didn't have an opportunity for the offensive line to get beat. You didn't have an opportunity for Sean Clifford to be back there debating where to go with the ball and thinking about it. He was getting rid of it quickly. Am I wrong, or have we not seen anything like that since?
You're not wrong, and I'm not sure. I think Penn State's coaching staff, maybe they're chasing their own tail a little bit. Maybe they're insistent on establishing some things that they feel are paramount and fundamental to their offense, like the RPO, for example, trying to establish that run game and really failing to establish that run game and trying to be balanced and show different looks and be able to establish different things that you can lean on throughout the full course of a game.
Okay, Dustin, that has to be it for quarter number 2. Stick around, quarter number 3. We continue our Maryland game conversation.
This Sunday, DraftKings is ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. That's right, you bet they cover with risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.